I've got a subject on my heart that, or a burden on my heart that I've had on here for days. It's a big subject in a sense of the word. We desire your prayers that the Lord will help us to be able to bring it out like he wants it. It's something that you and I have a great part in. Now, God has a big part in this too, but you and I have a greater part, in a sense. But we have a great part in what I'm going to preach on this morning. The Lord gave me this several months ago, and I feasted on it off and on. So we desire your prayer. Let's go to Isaiah, the second chapter. We'll start with the first verse, Isaiah 2 and 1. He said, the word of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. I want to talk about learning. Now, we start learning from a baby. When we start out, first thing basically we start doing is eating. When I say eating, I'm talking about being able to nurse. Then you get on up, you feed yourself, then you start crawling, walking, talking, dressing yourself. And learning is a big part of our life. You and I are going to learn from basically day one to the very end if we want to. Now, some people may want to cut things off at a point and not learn. But folks, if we're going to make heaven, if we're going to have victory, if we're going to be productive, the wisest thing we can do is learn all the way to the end. We're going to have to, spiritually speaking. But we can do that literally. I've done janitor work for many, many, many years, and I can still learn things. I learn things from other people. I like to pull from some. The other day I had something that somebody had spilt a sugary stuff over, and it got on the top of the stove. And I looked it over and I thought about it, and I thought there's only about two ways to get this off. But guess what I did? I asked Molly. I said, Molly, you tell me, or what is your idea to get this off? Well, she said, this or this. I said, well, all right. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do one of those two. But I thought she might have something that I don't know. Listen, folks, there's things that's hidden, so to speak. When I say hidden, that's inside of a person that we can glean from and learn from if we're just willing to reach out to them and say, teach me. Give me something. This can come from children. This can come from older people, middle-aged people, wherever it might be. We can glean some things and learn some things from them if we're just willing to reach out and say, help me. So Lord, help us today. Now then, he said here, many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Listen, folks, today, the church of God is the greatest teaching place in the whole world. There is no place that's got what we've got. There is people that feel like they can put things out, but we have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We have that. And I'm thankful today for what we've got. And then on top of that, all right, let's turn to Matthew, fifth chapter. We have a teacher that is the finest, greatest teacher that anybody could have. And the very fact That teacher wants to come down and teach us the God of heaven, the Christ, the Son of God, the one that has all power, has all wisdom, all knowledge, all understanding. The very fact that he wants to come down and teach us individually, work with us, tutor us, monitor us, and do things for us. Listen, folks, we ought to say thank God for that. This is not just anybody. There is students that need tutoring and so forth. They reach out and they pay money for that person to come tutor them, to help them, to educate them. One time my daughter Donna, when she was in college at OBU, her and Amanda and several of them took a class up, and this teacher was not the best teacher, so to speak, for this class. So they didn't do well. They actually went to Tulsa University, went up there. We took them and moved them up there, so to speak, for the summer. And they got in a class with a teacher there that he knew what to do, how to do it better, how to get it to them. Listen, folks, today, you and I, we, some of us that don't have the intellectual that others have, can't do what others can do. But this teacher named Jesus has the wisdom and the knowledge to get anything down to us that he wants to, if we're just willing to learn it. Just open our hearts up and say, Lord, feed me, teach me, bless me. How much have you got out of this meeting? What is your mindset when you come here? Did you come here to learn? Did you come here to get your heart into it? Not just to socialize or run around or play or drag main or to get a boyfriend or girlfriend. But young people, did you come to learn from Jesus? Praise God. He gives us a lot of time, folks. He gives us a lot of time. He spends a lot of time teaching us. And he said in 5:1 of Matthew, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them. Oh, dear ones. There is groups. There is groups. That get great speakers to come in. Paul Harvey, when he was alive, or this one or that one. And they bring them in to give speeches and to teach, to motivate and to uplift. I've been in stuff like that. Well, not that to that degree. But in a company that I have worked with for many, many years, Melaleuca, this company, they have a big deal every year. And I went to one or two of them. And they had great motivational speakers. And they could motivate you. Jesus can motivate you too. If you're discouraged, if you're down, if you're blue, if you're battling the devil, listen, it don't take but one word from Jesus to get you fired up and get you going, praise God. He's got that power, that ability. He knows the very word to say. There is times, especially when you're dealing with grief, that you don't really know what to say. Even after what I've been through, I struggle sometimes. You go talking about the suicide, they struggle. Brother Steve Gibson, or Gillenbeck, he come to a place where somebody had just committed suicide. And he come, and he walked up the door, and I was leaving as he was coming in. He said, do you think it'd be good for me to be here? I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, you understand what I don't understand. I said, it's good for you to be here. It's good for you to reach out to them, to help them. Listen, folks, today, Jesus wants to take us in our arm. He wants to set us on his lap, so to speak. He wants to take us and give us the good things. Amen. Well, you keep praying. Now, Isaiah over here, it said, come, let us go. Let us go, come ye, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of Jerusalem, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. Deuteronomy 4. Start reading about 10 here. Deuteronomy 4:10. It says, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I'll make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that thou shalt live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Learn to fear me. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 31 and 9. 31 and 9 of Deuteronomy. And it says this. And Moses wrote his law, delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. Now he's given this unto the leaders. Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and that they observe to do all the words of the law, and that their children may, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. As long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. All right, Proverbs. One more scripture here, 9 and 10 of Proverbs. I could probably about quote this one, but I'll read it. He said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now fear, what is fear? The fear of God is a holy awe, a reverence of God and his laws, which sprang from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subject to hate and to shun everything that can offend, such as a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. Now, he said, learn to fear the Lord. How much holy awe do we have for God this morning? How much respect? How much reverence do we have? It said that they may learn to fear. Now think about it. Fear in the right manner is one of the greatest things you and I can have concerning God. We need that. We've got to have that if we're going to live the way God would have us to live, because we do not want to hurt him, wound him, or do anything that would cause a separation or even a distance between us. And so consequently, he said there, learn to fear God. I want you elders to teach this. I want this taught and this taught. I want them to learn. I want the children to learn. The stranger to learn. I want everybody. Listen, folks, this in a sense is a bedrock to help you and I to get settled and established, whereby we can go all the way. Because when he comes along and he says, I want you to do this, and we look at it, we may say, I don't want to do that. I want you to go here, and you may say, I don't want to go there. Or we may kind of want to back up a little bit. But because I fear God, I have a great reverence for him. Because I do that, even though what he's asking me can be a little bit tight, a little bit tough, a little bit hard. Or at a minister, for instance, I've used this example many times down through the years. I knew the brother. At the time this happened, I think, was before I got saved. But Brother Murphy Allen was holding a meeting in a certain place. I don't know where this was at. And I think Brother Leslie told me this story. He was holding a revival meeting, and he was there at the chapel one day, and he's praying and getting the Lord's word for that night and so forth. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, I want you to go down on the street corner and preach to the people down there. He said, Lord, I don't have nobody to help me. I don't have no singers. I don't have no backup. Now, I don't know about you all, but I was about to see me doing about the same thing. Lord, have mercy here. You know, help. And he kind of wanted to back up just a little bit. And the Lord and him talked about it. And he said, I want you to go. So what Brother Murphy did, he went. And he went down there and done his thing. He didn't have no singers to back him. Now, I've not worked a whole lot like that, but I don't know, like down in Gould, Florida, they used to do a lot of that. Brother Herschel and some of them, they would take and they would go out and get a group, and they would go out and preach and teach and sing on the corners and so forth. I believe Brother does it back here, Brother Tony. They do a lot of that. I'll be honest with you, I've never done too much of that. I guess I ought to, but I haven't. But the bottom line is, Brother Murphy said, "Yes, Lord." Why? Because he had a fear of God. He reverenced him. And then he knew that there could be somebody down there that word might touch, that never hear the word of the Lord. That's the thing, folks. When we go into funerals and when we have outsiders coming in, I tell you, I don't know about you. I do too. I know probably every minister in here, we sometimes, in a sense, when we're preparing for a funeral, getting ready and doing these, we realize that there's people there that may never heard that word again in its full truth. It is a scary, solemn, it's a heavy weight. It is something that you don't really go through any other time than funerals and weddings. Our weddings are a little bit different, but Lord help us. Brother Murph went down there and he preached the truth and the whole truth, and the Lord blessed him. Has the Lord been asking you to do anything? How great is your fear of God today? Have you learned to really fear the Lord in the fullness that He would have it? Whereby when He says, "I want you to go, you go. I want you to do, you do." Now, Brother Joseph mentioned something last night about sanctification, the fact that, you know, the Lord is leading people to give themselves and consecrate and dedicate, and the devil comes along and said, "Well, he'll make a preacher out of you." And people, young people, they want to shrink back. Well, Brother Clifford and some of them was trying to bring that down and open that up and broaden it. And I appreciate that. But the bottom line is, if we fear God with the right respect and reverence, when the Lord comes along, we may shrink back a little bit. But as we work with God and deal with God, we will be willing to do what He wants us to do. Learn to fear. The problem with the United States today is the lack of the fear of God. Point blank. Is a real lack of the fear of God. If they feared God, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They can raise their hands. They can shout. They can carry on. They can go to church 7 days a week if they want to. But to live in sin and live like the devil 7 days a week, don't do it, folks. It's wrong. And they won't make heaven that way. So consequently, the Lord said, "I want you to learn to fear me." How great is our fear this morning for God? Our reverence. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. All right, let me give you something else. There's some of this I didn't have written down. Let's go to Matthew. Let me see here. The fourth chapter, I think I want. All right, fourth chapter, all right, the eighth verse. And this will tie back in what Brother Joseph was teaching last night. Again, now this is Jesus, and then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's the first verse. And then it talks about different things, or tells us about different things. And then gets down to the eighth verse and said, "The devil taketh him up into a high, exceeding high mountain, sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him." Now, do you know the devil's doing the very same thing today with people? That is thinking about sanctification. He takes them, and what I mean here, he takes them to a point and he shows them all the things out there that they're going to lose, so to speak, if they get sanctified. Well, you can't have this and you can't have that and you can't have this. And he works with that over and over and over and over to hinder people. Listen, folks, When the Lord began to, well, let me put it this way. I knew a minister. He come and ministered to the little congregation there where Mama took me as a boy in Oklahoma City. It was a church of God. But old Brother Hughes, he come, but Brother Hughes didn't really own anything but a car. He didn't own a home. He didn't have a whole lot of money. He stayed with his sister, him and his wife did. And I looked at that and I thought, there's one thing I absolutely do not want to be, and that's a preacher. I thought, he ain't have nothing. He don't have nothing. And in my little child like mine, 8, 9 years old, whatever I was, I thought, well, if he can't have anything, I don't want to be no preacher. I'd like to have a house. I want a car. I think he did own a car, but he didn't own really anything else much. And he had a little bit of money, but he was happy. The Lord blessed him. But I found out that as I got older, the devil used that, but the Lord used his way of letting me know, hey, I'll give you things. I'll provide your needs. I will pay your bills. I will give you a home. Right now, I live in the finest home I've ever lived in. Not as big maybe as I'd like in a sense, but it is the nicest home, and the Lord and the saints provided that for me. And I appreciate that. Well, let's go to Deuteronomy, back to 18. 18 of Deuteronomy. Learning. How much have we learned in this meeting? How much are you interested in learning in this meeting? All right, 18 and 9 of the good book of Deuteronomy. And if a Levi come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren, the Levites, do, which stand before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat, besides that which he cometh of the sale of the patrimony, I can't pronounce that. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that use a divination, or an observer of the times, an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkeneth unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. Lord, help us not to learn the ways of the world. Now, there is things we've got to learn. I mean, you've got to learn in school and so forth. But there's things out there the Lord just would like us just to turn our back on and walk away from. And to leave it alone. And to not have anything to do with it. And I tell you why. Because this right here is far greater than all of that out there. The things that we might be able to learn that the devil say, well, this will help you or whatever. Listen, folks, leave all of that alone. Run from it. Stay away from it. Listen, the sports industry, if you want to call it that, is a great thing in our world. And a lot of people are flocking to that by the thousands. The Lord wants you and I to flock to him. I had people that when I was in service station business back many, many years ago, and I would tell somebody that I'm going to go to Myrtle for an all-day singing, and well, how far are you going? Well, about 400 miles, and they'd look at me like I was crazy. But then I had people coming through from the East Coast going to the West Coast to the Rose Bowl or to the Super Bowl, and well, that's perfectly fine. I got news for you. I had much more blessings than they did. much more blessings to leave these kind of things alone. These things can get us into trouble. These things can cause and besides that, they're pulling from things. And then it said, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, something God hates. He wants everybody to fear Him, to love Him, to respect Him, and to live for Him. He doesn't want people to be a charmer or a consulter or a wizard. He doesn't want people to do things like that people are doing out there, going to these seances and things like that. He's not interested in that. He wants everything to be above board and clean and clear. And those things are done undercover and back and hidden. For those nations which said there that for all that do those things are abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. In other words, he was given Israel and his people the places that these people used to have. And thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For those nations which thou shalt possess hearkeneth unto the observers of time. In other words, they reach out and do things, get involved with your, how do you want to say this? The bringing of things and reaching out into things that they shouldn't be reaching out into. For those nations which thou shalt possess, hearken to observers. The observers of time to diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God had not suffered thee to do so. The Lord's had prophets for years. These people, they look into things and they look into the stars and the moon and look into these things and then they make predictions and maybe make prophecy, so to speak. But that's pulling that. You and I can have something directly from God. Something that God wants us to deal with and to work with. Something that will come true. There have been many times down through the years that the Lord has given in the Old Testament, I'm thinking about right now, and give the prophet something, and they would go give it out and warn the people and tell the people would turn it down. But sure enough, it happened over and over and over. Well, the Lord wants us to pull from Him. Wants us to learn from Him. Now let's go to one of the greatest scriptures in the New Testament, Matthew 11 chapter. Matthew 11 chapter. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. And he said, what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Lord wants us to allow Him. Lord, help us to have a desire. Like I said, Jesus is the greatest teacher that has ever lived. He is able to give us and teach us. There is teachers out there that sometimes have students that they struggle with. How do I get that to them? And the child is not, I wouldn't say it's not normal, but it's not grasping and they struggle with it and they want to help them and they're not really able to do what they want to do. Jesus has no problem with that. One morning, when I was building my house or partially building my house in Oklahoma City, I was needing to do something. And I'm not a carpenter like some carpenters are in here. But I was needing to do something and I flat didn't know how to do it. And I was laying on my bed and meditating and thinking about this and the Lord just pointed it out to me, told me exactly how to do it. And I went, wow, that's not so hard. I can do that. Have you ever had Him do you that way? I've been in install jobs and Brother Dan and Brother Philip told me when I went to work for them, they knew I didn't have the experience like the Gillenbecks or the Wilsons or the Gibsons or so forth. The Mitchells, they knew that. But they said, I've been there. And if you need help, call us and we'll tell you how to do it. And they done it. They done it over and over and over. But I've also had the Lord just flat open something up to me and show me how to do it. Look, and maybe I couldn't understand the plans or whatever be the deal, and I was struggling with this, and the Lord would come along, and He would just, I'd be, Lord, have mercy. There's been times that I've lost sleep at night because I didn't know what to do. Didn't know totally, but I was struggling with it. And I thought probably I was the only one done it until another installer or two told me they had the same deal. There's a lot of installers lost sleep on these jobs, Brother Philip. And maybe not the Mitchells, or maybe not Brother Ed, but I know some of us have. And the Lord would come along and just open it up. Listen, folks, no matter who we are, where we are, the Lord, if we're willing, Mary and Martha. Martha was after one thing. Mary was after something else. Mary sat down at Jesus' feet. She sat there to learn. This is Jesus. This is my friend. This is the one we're welcoming into our home. This is the one that wants to bless us. I want to learn from Him. Listen, folks, can we have the mentality? I've got the greatest opportunity in the whole world, and that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and pull and learn something that I can't get otherwise, that He can reveal unto me. There's times that you can read scriptures. There's times that you can read doctrine and maybe not understand it. And the Lord come along and just open it up so plain to you. You can read scriptures over and over and over and get something out of it down through the years. You ever do that, Brother Curtis? Well, wow, look here. And then you read another. Wow, look at there. The Lord's got a way, because why? He wrote this of the greatest mind, and this Bible, this Word of God, will be able to work with any age of time and any body of people anywhere in the world, because the very one that wrote it's going to come in the room and bless you if you're willing to learn. Mary, and I'm kind of in putting some things in her Mary mind, so to speak, but she sat down there and she wanted something. Martha was doing a great work. But what Jesus tell the disciples one time? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Don't you think Mary was wanting some of that meat? Something directly from the mouth of God. Something directly that Jesus wanted to give her that would be a blessing to her. Yes, she was wanting something good. When we sit down in here, have we got our minds into this, or have we got our minds somewhere else? Lord, help us to say, Lord, I want to learn. I want to learn more every day. Now, when a person gets saved, and I'm dealing with people at the altar of getting saved and so forth, some of the things I tell them is they need to read the Bible. They need to pray. They need to go to service every time they can go to meeting. And a lot of times I will instruct them, if I remember right, to start in the New Testament. Amen. There's a lot of good in the Old Testament, but the New Testament is the dispensation now, so to speak. And you can get so much good out of the New Testament. So I encourage them, start in the New. Read and learn. And let the Lord be a hungry. Be a hungry. Now, I don't know if I've ever thought of this way, but you got Martha and you got Mary. Mary was hungry, so to speak, to do something for the physical. And Mary was hungry to have something that she could give out to other people, that she could be a blessing. Do you ever want to give something out to somebody else? Something from the mouth of God? Something that's eternal? Listen, folks, this is eternal. We're dealing with heaven or hell. We're dealing with a source that will have one life. And in that life, you're going to have to do everything you can do. You don't know how long you're going to live. Jesus knew exactly everything about it. You and I do not know how long we're going to live. We don't know who we're going to cross paths with. So consequently, we need to get something from the mouth of God as we go along to be able to hand out to other people that'll be a blessing to them. Mary said, give me something, Jesus. I want to have something that I can give out to this one or this one or this one. Oh, Lord, help us. Are you getting something to give to other people? Are you giving something that could be a blessing to other people? Lord, help us. Now, I'm not just talking to the preacher. I'm talking to all of us this morning. At least I hope I am. that we give out something that will be meat for life. There is people out there that need what we've got. They need something that will lift them, encourage them, challenge them, stir them, help them to see the Bible as they don't see it any other way. Now, the life we live is part of it. The old general, as I call him, General Mark Salmon, he was down in Alabama holding a meeting, tent meeting. And at the tent meeting, it had rained some there, and they were on Sister Perlene's place. And the farm, the little acreage there. And so he got everything packed up, they did, and got it in the truck and everything. And he went to turn around, and when he did, he got stuck. Well, there was a neighbor that was over there. She had a two-story house, if I understood the story right. And she saw what was happening, so she thought, I'm going to watch him. I'm going to see what he does. Well, Brother Mark got out in his casual, laid-back way. And he looked it all over. He didn't fuss, cuss, or throw a fit. He said, well, if I do this, I do this, I do this, I can get out. So he done it. And do you know that highly touched that woman because he conducted himself in a way that helped her to see that preachers can live the right way, can do something right. Do something that, and he wasn't preaching to her. I think she had come to the service some. I think she had been there. But the bottom line is, she saw some conduct that impressed her. Well, if we fear God, we pull off of him, our conduct can help people. But then we got a mouth. Now, there's some people like to talk, and some people don't talk very much. And so consequently, even if you don't say a whole lot, you can be a blessing to somebody. You can give them something out of the Word of God that will be a great lift and a great encouragement to them and help them as they go along life's way. There's a lot of people out there that need that, folks. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Several years ago, there was a book come out that was written by a minister on the West Coast, not one of our ministers. And somebody told me, said, it's so good, Brother Carl. You need to buy that and read that. Well, I got one of them. And I opened it up and I looked through it. And I thought, Lord, have mercy. This ain't got nothing on the saints at all. The Lord gave me a message that I preached in Monarch about that. Why was the Holy Ghost given? The Holy Ghost and Christ work as a team to feed us. We don't have to pull from Babylon. We don't need to pull from Babylon. We don't need to have anything really to do with Babylon except to help them. And so consequently, the Lord said, learn of me. Not reach out there, get the Bible, get the print shop books, get the things that the Church of God, Evening Light, has written down through the years of doctrine and things to help us and to teach us and to work with us, and use that along with the Word of God, or the Word of God along with that, however you want to say it. But the bottom line is, get those things from that. We don't need to reach out here. One time, Brother Salmons and Sister Verna was in a home. This woman had been coming to meeting some, but she was greatly confused, and she was having problems. So Brother Mark was there, and Sister Verna was there, and they were going to have a meal. And as the women was working, he was overlooking, and she had some library shelves that had all kind of Babylonian books in there. Well, he just kind of about seemed doing it, just looking it over and studying it out. So at dinner, they were sitting there eating, and she said something about the books or whatever. And Brother Martin looked at her and said, the first thing you need to do is get rid of every one of them. He just cut across the line, folks. He dug down where it counted. Just get rid of them. Do away with them. Get back to the Bible. There is people that need to get back to the Bible. There is people that's come of mine. I didn't know I was going to get into all this. You pray. The Lord there's people that's come out of Babylon and come with us. And we say, don't bring any Babylonian stones. In other words, don't bring any doctrines. Get rid of that. But I tell you, I've seen people that's come to meetings that's been searching and looking and they wanting and they look us over. This is exactly what I've wanted for years. And they just go on and go on. And then they come to the place where they meet a doctrine. And they meet a cross. And they don't want to go there. They don't want to put their thing down, their doctrine down. They don't want to do that. They want to hang on to that, but they want us to get back to the old Bible. Get back to where the Lord wants us. Learn of me. Learn of me, Jesus said. Pull of me. Get down to where I can teach you. Open yourselves up, praise God. How do you do that? One of the greatest things, he said, I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. I am meek and lowly. Listen, folks, if he's meek and lowly, how low are we going to get this sometime? Sometime, Brother Hargrave said one time, if people ride down the altar or come down the altar, and like they ride in a chariot down there to get something. He said they ought to be slithering down like a snake on their belly, so to speak, get real low. Listen, folks, if we're going to get the depths like Mary did, get out at Jesus' feet, get as low as you need to go, and say, Lord, here am I, feed me, teach me, I want help. I'm going to tell you, our attitude means a lot. When we're coming to the Lord and wanting to learn from him, we need to get our attitude like the Lord's attitude. Get in the same frame of mind. Get down there. Have you ever gone to pray and you couldn't pray? You had to get into what I call a spirit of prayer. You had to get your mind cleared out. I don't know about some of you, it seemed like the devil fought me hard in this meeting. But I'm going to tell you, get your mind clear and say, Lord, here am I. Give me something. Here am I. Attitude is a very important part of learning from God. Brother Austin Wilson said one time there were some scriptures in Ephesians, and I had high respect for him. He told me one time we were doing something together, and I asked him something. Anyway, he said, well, I'm not nearly as far along as I would like to be. You? Well, I've heard others say that too. But the bottom line is, our attitude, our desire of, I want more from Christ. I want to learn, Lord, what you want me to learn. Lord, if you've got something for me today out of the Word of God, now I want to study on this, but Lord, if you've got something different that will be a blessing to me, give it to me. Mary got down at his feet, said, feed me, so to speak, give me something good. She didn't tell him what to do. She said, she got down there and learned of Jesus. Lord, help us to get down there with an attitude, what do you got for me? Now, when we go to church, we don't tell the preacher what to preach, do we? When he gets in the pulpit, he has prayed, studied, begged and pleaded, fasted. There's time, folks, that we spend hours studying before we ever get up here. To get what? And then we get up here and the Lord starts adding to it, like he's doing right now. Adding to it, change it a little bit. Why? Because we want the Holy Ghost to have his way. We want the Lord to have his way. When we come to meeting, we don't tell the preacher what to preach. We sit down there and say, yes, Lord. When it gets tight, when it starts stepping on your toes, so to speak, do you say, yes, Lord? And you say, no, wait a minute. Now, you know I don't want to do that, Lord. You know I don't want to dress that away. You know, I don't want to marry that woman or that man or this or that or whatever it might be. What is our attitude? Lord, help us to have a humble, lowly, meek, however you want to say it, just get on down there where the Lord would have us get. Say yes. Just surrender. He told me that day, he said there, well, I went home that night. I've mentioned this once, and something had, I said, the Lord told me, he said, I can help you with that. And then the next morning when I got up, he spoke to me. I was laying there and he said, surrender it. Surrender it. And I got up out of bed and headed to my place of prayer there in the bedroom. And I started surrendering. And when I did, the Lord started blessing. Our attitude of surrender. Lord, I want what you want. Do you realize, Lord, help us here. I did not know I was going to get into this. Do you realize that there, sometimes we have a sister's meeting or a brother's meeting and something gets said, well, we're going to teach on this. And do you know there's people said, I don't want to go to that because of what they're teaching. That's all they ever teach on, dress. They just teach on dress all the time. And I've done heard that and I'm not going to go. Is that a good attitude?
No.
Could we learn something maybe new about dress? Could we learn something new about the Holy Spirit? Or could we learn something new about the plan of salvation? My brother Joseph brought out things I never heard quite like in the light and the colors and all. They never heard it presented that way quite. But listen, our attitude means so much. Our attitude of, Lord, here am I, fill me. Lord, here am I, bless me. Lord, here am I, teach me. Listen, folks, this is the greatest teacher that we can have anything to do with. And he wants to bless us. But we've got to have a humble attitude to get it. He's humble. He was meek. He went through. How is our attitude concerning? Now, I'm just going to put it where it is. There is times that certain people don't like certain preachers. Why he just stop and snort? Or he's too quiet? Or he doesn't do this, or he don't do that, or she doesn't do this, or she don't do that. I just really don't like that type of preaching. One of the greatest examples of somebody that could get something out of anything was Brother Leslie Busby. No matter, seemed like whoever got in the pulpit, Brother Leslie was right there just drinking it in. Maybe it wasn't a stomp and snort. Maybe it wasn't a emotional person. Maybe it was more the quiet, more the laid back. But Brother Leslie's right there filling up, getting something. Now, I know others are too, but he was my mentor. He's my pastor all of my saved life. He got something from it. So our attitude, when we come into meeting, and our attitude toward the ministers means a lot. We need to have a, Lord, I want you to teach me. Now, I'm going to admit, I like the more emotional preaching. I admit that. But, Lord, help us all, including me, to draw from everything we can draw from to get a depth. Because each one has his own gift. Each one has his own calling, so to speak. Each one is blessed. I'm a very emotional person. That's the reason I guess I preach like I do, because I'm so highly emotional. But the bottom line is, the Lord wants you and I to get what we can get from everyone that gets in this pulpit. Teaching, preaching. All right, let's move along. Thank you. All right, let's go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Please pray. Deuteronomy 5:1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears today, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount. Out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to shew you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount, saying. Now, he's saying here in the first verse, Moses called all Israel and said to them, Hear, O Israel. He that hath ears to hear, the Bible said, let him hear. Hear the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears today, that you may learn them and keep and do them. Now, this is all the way back under Moses' time. This is not, we're dealing with back there, but we're going to deal with it today too. I speak in your ears that you may learn. Oh, Lord, help us that the Lord, that we allow the Lord. Let's go to 119 of Psalms, 119, 73 and then 34. 119 and 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And then 34 says, give me understanding that I should keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now, how well do you know the doctrines of the Church of God? I have dealt in the last, I'd say 3 years, maybe just 2 years, with people that are ministers' children. I don't really like to say this, but I found out that they listened to Dad, but they really didn't learn it like they need to learn it. And now then they've got up older, the Lord help us here, they got up older. And listen, saints, I didn't have this privilege. I didn't have a dad that was a preacher. I didn't even have a dad that was among the saints. My mother was born and raised pretty well Church of God. My dad was of the Baptist faith. My grandpa was a preacher. On Dad's side, he was a preacher. But I didn't have this privilege. And I've been with him and I've talked to him. And to my surprise and a little bit to my horror, they had really not gotten into what Dad was trying to teach them and what Mom was trying to teach them. And now then they've got their wife, their husband, they've got their children, and they're going, we don't know this like we ought to. Whose fault is it? That's why I'm begging you that you learn the commandments, learn the doctrines, learn the Word of God. Listen, you can't start too young. Matter of fact, the younger you start, the better off you are. In the Catholic Church said, if you give us a person to their, 6 years old, I'll have them for life. Listen, folks, give ourselves when we're young. Teachers in Sunday school, lay these things out. Work with them and teach them and the A's and the B's and the C's. But then bring them on up slowly and gradually as they can learn deeper and deeper as they get older and they've got a greater experience. Help them to know the doctrines. Help them to understand. There have been ministered. Well, you've got to learn that. The bottom line is we have spent hours researching, studying, digging, praying, reading in the evening light books. But what about you? Help me. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands. Thousands of gold and silver. The law of my mouth, of thy mouth. Listen, folks, this is greater to us than gold and silver. It's greater than the finest jobs that we can hold. It's to know the things that God wants us to know and understand. Lord, help us to learn. Are we learning what God would have us to learn? Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. We're everyone individually made by God, so to speak. Give me understanding that I may learn. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. All right, now then, let's go to the 71st verse, right above where I was reading here. And it said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Woo. I don't like pain, Brother Carl. I don't either. My daughter said, Dad, when it comes to pain, you're a wimp. When I had the same problem that I've had for the last month, back in 2012, when Rebecca was sick, on her deathbed, I was moaning under the pain that one of the sister caregivers said, go to your bedroom and stay there. You're upsetting your wife. So I done what I was told. The Lord brought me out of that one a lot quicker. I have had greater pain, longer pain in this deal than I did before. But it said, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Does afflictions teach you things? So then he said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. In 1987, when I was so sick, out in West Virginia and Kentucky, Brother Sammons and Brother Williams worked with me and prayed over me and counseled me and helped me, and they were wonderful, and I appreciate that. Brother Wilson, Brother Clifford, Brother Ed's dad, married for the second time. His wife was scheduled to work in the school out there in Greenbank that year, and she told him, said, now, I've already given my word. He said, not a problem. I'll just go with you. So he went. It was good for me that he was there. Because this is what he told me. He said, Brother Carl, he said, all of this sickness that you've gone through, he said, is going to be, you're going to meet up with something, or deal with something with somebody else in affliction. And he said, you're going to pull it up like a little block here, and you're going to look at that, and you're going to remember what you suffered. And you're going to be able to help them. You're going to be able to do what you can't do now. So I listened to what he said. And do you know, folks, I've been pulling off that 30-something years. There can be somebody tell me a pain that they're suffered. I said, I understand. Somebody tell me, oh, I got this. I said, I understand. I can get in the bucket with them. Now, this may not mean much to you, but folks, the Bible said, rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep, and hurt, so to speak, with them that hurt. And if we're going to be able to get the depths of that, we got to go through affliction to do it. And you're going to be able to learn from affliction. You're going to be able to learn, get the depths out of it. Some people say, well, I want to get out of it right now. Well, I'll agree. I want to get out of it, some of it too. But the bottom line is this. It's a teaching. It's a learning. It's God helping us to get a hold of something in the depths of humility, in the depths of things that we can't get otherwise, in the depths when we're in affliction. We can learn. We can get scriptures. We can get understanding that you can't get otherwise. And then we can pass it on to others. We can go to him and say, I understand. I understand what you're going through. I'm in here with you. You can pray with a greater fervency. You can love them with a greater love. You can have a greater burden for them. You can have a greater understanding if you've gone through something similar or identical to what they've had. And I went through so many different angles of pain, and that's what made it so deal. Some people were saying, he's so young, why is he suffering like this? And this and this and this. That was a set for my pastoralship for 20 years. And I still use it in evangelism too. But it was a setting. It was a setting to help me to understand people. So he said, it's good for me. So if you're in the hand of affliction, Lord, help us to say, it's good for me. That I may learn thy statutes, that I may learn thy laws, thy commandments, thy doctrines. For one thing, sometimes it slows us down where we can spend some more time in the Bible. We live in a whirlwind world anymore that we're going like this about all the time. And we're not spending maybe as much time as we ought to. And so the Lord says, I'll help you with that. I'll bring you down in affliction. You got to spend some time now. And you'll do some extra praying. You'll do some extra reading. You'll do some extra things because you got time. You can't do anything else. In 1987, some of the greatest glory, some of the greatest blessings I've had in all of my 40-something years of living for God come at that time. The glory of God come down, and it was so rich one night that I was crying and shouting. I was about to explode physically because of the presence of God. And he'd done that more than once. So if you want the glory, if you want the depths of the blessings, if you want things that you can't get any other way, say, Lord, it's good for me that I am afflicted, that I may learn, that I may learn. All right, 94 of Psalms. 94 of Psalms and the 12th verse. Blessed is the man whom thou chastisest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of the law, out of thy law. Blessed is the Lord that whom thou chastisest. The Lord is going to spank us once in a while. Talks about, I believe in Hebrews, said your sons and not bastard. He's going to chastise you, correct you. One time I was in California, Brother Egbert and I had gone out there, and we've gone a month. We was in one meeting right after another for 30-something days, or about 30 days. And I had made a mistake and done something back here in Oklahoma. And the Lord decided it was time to deal with me on that. And he started chastising me in California, and he whipped me all the way to Oklahoma and didn't quit when I got here. I still got a whipping. Brother Sammons was starting a meeting right here at Guthrie, Oklahoma. And I come to meeting, and he was still laying it on me. And I said, thank you, Lord. I want to get the message, Lord. I want to get the lesson. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When he whipped you, do you thank him? Lord, that I'm a child, that I'm a son, that I'm a daughter, that I am one that you love enough that you want to correct and work with. Now, if a child starts running and doing everything that they can to keep from getting a whipping, and I've heard of different stories of how dad's done their children or mom's done their children, how they selected the switches off the tree or how they done this or done that. I heard stories down through the years. But what about us and the Lord? Do we say, yes, Lord? Lord, help us. I may get a whipping tomorrow. I don't know. But may get a chastisement tomorrow. Seems like I've opened my mouth with my two darlings over here and opened my mouth and done the wrong thing two or three times since I've been in Guthrie. Not any sin, just done the wrong thing, said the wrong thing. But do we say, yes, Lord, give us a good old spanking? Did you learn out of your chastisement when you were children? I'm talking about literally now. Did you learn some? Sure you did. Why did Daddy and Mama take the time to deal with you and work with you and to give you a little whipping? Because they wanted you to know better. Not to do it, how to do it. You should have done it this way or whatever. Now, one brother was preaching. Can't remember now who it was. But anyway, one of them talking about his tools. And he said that he's got them in several places and different things. Well, Daddy'd get all of his lined up, and I'd go out there and get them and go do this and go do that, and I wouldn't put them back. And he wasn't happy with his son. I was the oldest one of the group, and he'd say, if you would do what you ought to do and put it back where you got it, I could find it. Well, he'd get frustrated at me. Well, let's not frustrate the Lord. Let's say, yes, Lord. I didn't speak right. I didn't have the right humility. I didn't have enough love. Or whatever it might be, Lord, help me. Lay it on, Lord, that I may learn more. And he chastises people in different ways. All right, let's finish up. Let's go to Titus, the 3rd chapter, 14th verse. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Help us, Lord. To maintain good things to help other people. Good works. do good things. There are so many things that we can do. Brother Clifford mentioned all the gifts and different things. There's so many different works that we can do to help other people. Look around and see what you could do. Listen. I'll give you an instance. Somebody that's been right here this morning told me a story one time that of something that they actually done. They lived close to a member of their congregation and in the same neighborhood, subdivision, however you want to say it. And one day they felt led to go over there and spend some time with this sister. So they went over there and they talked about the Bible and talked about different things. I don't remember just what all, and had prayer together. And they told me, said, well, I went back home. And the phone rang after a while. And that sister made the statement to the one that come over to see her, said, you don't know what a blessing you was. You don't know how much you helped me. I know of another case where that a pastor in Shawnee, Oklahoma, went to see, well, I won't use names, went to see a person that had missed Sunday morning service. This person was married to an unsaved person, and they were all down, they were all blue, they were all discouraged, they were all crying, and they got a knock on the door. They run in the bathroom, they washed their eyes and done best they could to make them look presentable because they had no idea who was at the door, and they opened the door and the pastor was there. Now, you can do this as saints. This doesn't have to be a minister. And he looked at this sister and he said, sister, you're like a rock in the billows. And that fired her up, blessed her, encouraged her, just like the other deal. He didn't say any more than that, but that was a powerful message of good works that got her going, or kept her going, that's the best way to put it, kept her going, and I pastored her years later. And if you'd want anybody to be in your congregation, you'd want her. She was a sweetheart. And she was a lot older then, way older than I was. But she was a sweet, older saint. You're like a rock in the billows. Lord, help us to learn to say the right things. And to go the right places. And to be led. And to do, maintain good works. Things that help people. Well, I don't have time. Well, make time. There's people that is hurting. They need a text. They need a call. They need a visit. They need a card. I sent a card to somebody the other day. And the wife texted me. And then when I saw the husband and wife together, he was talking about it. And I thought, what was so special about that card? I send a lot of cards, sent over 100 thank yous and remembrances and get wells and sympathy cards this year, 110 or 15 where I'm at right now. I didn't think anything much about it except I was trying to reach out to all the family of this person that died. What can you do? What good works can you do that'll be a blessing to somebody? It doesn't take too long to send a card. It doesn't take too long to send a text. We text a lot. Do you realize that used to people pull back from writing because they didn't want to take time to do it? Yeah, my phone's over there. Do you know that we type miniature letters by the hundreds on texting? All right, the last scripture, 2 and 4 of Isaiah. It said, and he shall judge among the nations, and he shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Now, sometimes things happen, and people get it almost war with one another. Some of these things can go for a long time. The Lord doesn't want us to learn war anymore. He wants us to be peaceable creatures, loving creatures, people that are a blessing. We want people that when they see us coming, they say, that's my friend. That's somebody that loves me. I like to be with them. They're peaceable. They're loving. Not learn war anymore. Have you got a problem with somebody that you're in a bad place with, I guess you could say? A number of years ago, I had a problem with a brother. Wife and children were gone. I was there home alone. I was praying. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you made a mistake too, child. And I literally went like this. I was kneeling and I went like this. I raised both hands and looked straight up to heaven. I said, who, me? I didn't make any mistakes. Lord, what are you talking about? And he said, anytime there's a problem between two people, everybody makes a mistake. I thought about that. He said, this is what I want you to do. And he gave me scripture out of Matthew there where it talks about love in the fourth chapter and right down toward the end of it. And talks about love there. And he said, I want you to show him love. And I want you to do this and this. And I struggled with that a little bit. I thought about it. I thought I'll do it. I'll get this problem solved. Have you got trouble between you and somebody else that you could help solve? That you could help clear up, that you could be a blessing to that person. If nothing else, sometimes the fact that we humble our hearts and say, I am sorry I said that. I went to him. First chance I got. And I went to him and we talked it out. We come to a good agreement and I went my way and he went his. And when I left, the glory of God filled my soul such and poured out such a blessing, I was ready to go back and do it all again. Not learn war anymore. The Lord doesn't want people to be in disagreement with one another, war with one another, disagreement. He wants us to be what? Unity? Unity, right? Well, you're not going to be at war and be in unity at the same time. So we need to put the plowshares down, the swords down, and everything else down. And get into this. And get down here before the Lord. And say, Lord, how can I correct this? I have made a mistake with this brother or this sister. And I need to clear it up. One place says when you come to put your gift on the altar, said you remember you have aught with them. You go and talk to them, get this all straightened out, then come back. Let's do that. If we have any problem, let's get it all clear. Learning of the Lord. How much have we learned lately? 2019's almost gone. How much further down the road in doctrine, in learning of God, have you done in 2019? All right, we got 2020. One young man come to the altar and I went to pray with him. And he had kind of gotten a little bit away from the Lord. I'm not saying he would backslid, but he wasn't as close. And I knew what he had been doing. He had been courting, he'd gotten engaged, and he'd gotten married. And I know what that's like. I couldn't do quite like some do, but young people, if you're not very careful, when you find that significant other, what happens if you're not careful is your spiritual kind of begins to wane. And they're top center. Well, you want them to be top center, but you don't want to leave the Lord out neither. So I looked at him and I said, you want me to tell you what your problem is? He said, yes, sir. And I told him, he shook his head, yes. He wasn't learning of the Lord like he should be. It's not only that, but it's other things that can pull us away if we're not very careful. A new job. And get all into a new job. Or something that we maybe want to do and get all into that, and we're not learning from the Lord. And the Lord's saying, I'm still here. I want to bless you, child. And we're off over here and over there, and we're not getting what we want. When we was in school, what would the teacher do? If you got out of order, she'd get on you, wouldn't she? Lord, help us to just humble down and say, yes, Lord, I want you first in my life. I appreciate your time and attention. Pray for me. I want to be what the Lord would have me to be.